All right. Take your Bibles tonight, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And while you're turning there, I ran across a statistic the other day that I was kind of shocked by, and it was very concerning to me, kind of dealing with churches and missions and things. And so I kind of want to read this to you tonight. This, what I'm going to share with you tonight was a guy did a series of email questionnaires to over 1,400 independent Baptist churches around America, right? So he sent this questionnaire to over 1,400 independent Baptist pastors, and this was in June of 2018, right? So this was, you know, we're talking 5 years ago now that this this information was gathered, okay? Of those 1,400 pastors that received this email, only half of them even opened the email, right? So that's a little concerning right there. I'm not sure if pastors don't check their email or what, but only half of them opened their emails. Only 111 completed the survey. Only 111 pastors actually completed the survey. So even though there was 1,400 emails sent out, only 111 completed the survey, but with those 111 that completed the survey, this was the information that this man received, and this is actually taken from a book called Missionary Partnership by David Ben Sinclair, Ben David Sinclair, and he's the one that that kind of did this survey and things. And these were some of the questions that he asked. He said, "How many members does your church have?" And after all of the surveys and things were completed, the average church has 114 members. We're talking independent Baptist church, right? So of those 111 that completed the survey, the average church is 114 members. The question was asked, how many missionaries does your church support? And this is where it began to be a little bit shocking to me, right? The average church supports 26 missionaries. 26 missionaries. The next question was, how many missionaries did you begin supporting in the past 5 years? So not like how many did you start supporting this year, but how many missionaries did you start supporting in the past 5 years? The average church began supporting 7 missionaries in 5 years. 7 new missionaries. Now, I guarantee you, there's a lot more than 7 missionaries out there trying to raise support, right? 7 missionaries in the past 5 years. That's just barely over 1 a year, right? They asked, how many missionaries, if any, did you increase in the past 5 years? Again, the average church only increased 7 missionaries in the past 5 years. So only 7 new missionaries in the past 5 years. They were only able to increase 7 in the past 5 years. And then this was the last question. How much does your church give to foreign missions last year? So this is not 5 years, this is 1 year, right? So in 2018, this man asked this question to these churches. How much does your church give to foreign missions last year? Of those that responded, the total amount that was given was $1,699,401.21 that was given in that past year. The average church gave then $16,660 the past year. That's how much the average independent Baptist church gave to missions in the year 2018. Which means the average church of 114 members, the average member of a church is giving $145.39 a year. Can I say that's sad? That's concerning. I was absolutely shocked. I was blown away. That means the average church member is giving $12.12 per month. $2.80 a week. 40 cents a day in our independent Baptist churches. 40 cents a day. When you watch, if you ever watch TV and things, it's amazing. You get all of these ads that come on and they show these poor little puppy dogs. And for just 69 cents a day, you can save the life of a puppy dog. Is a soul not even worth the life of a puppy dog? 40 cents a day is what the average church member is giving to missions. Now, I did not get that email. And I'm thankful that I didn't get that email, right? But I'm thankful that our church does not fit that average. I'm thankful that we are, again, I know that was an average of all of them, but I'm thankful that that's not our church. That's not us. It's sad to think that that is so many churches, though. There is a lack of desire to get the gospel around the world. I was totally blown away by that. 40 cents a day is what the average church member gives for missions. Is it any wonder that we need revival in our country? We're not talking about America as a whole. We're talking about our churches. If that's what we think the value of a soul is, and look, I understand everybody gives differently. I'm not saying that. But 40 cents a day, that's what the average independent Baptist church member gives to missions. That's a sad case for the independent Baptist churches, right? And again, I'm thankful I'm so thankful that is not our church. And I hope that never becomes our church. I hope that our church always has a heart for missions. Again, we support close to 80 missionaries. Our goal this year is like $120,000+ just for this year. And so that's not us. But sometimes we do need to be reminded of what most churches are doing and be thankful that what God is doing through First Baptist Church. Amen? That has nothing to do with my message tonight. That was just something, I ran across that this week and I thought, wow, that's something that we need to be made aware of. But in Ephesians chapter 6 tonight, Ephesians chapter 6, and we've been looking at this theme or this topic of walking in wisdom, right? We've been looking at how Christ tells us to walk in love in chapter 5, and then how we are to walk in light, and now he's talking about how we're to walk in wisdom, and he begins to give these examples of how we're to walk in wisdom. The first example to walk in wisdom is in the home, and that's what we've been looking at for several weeks now. In the home, in chapter 5, verses 22, all the way down to chapter 6, verse number 4, talking about the wife walking in submission and the husband walking in love to the wife, the children in obedience to their parents. So walking in wisdom in the home. Then we talked about walking in wisdom on the job. We looked at that last week, walking in wisdom on the job. And that's in chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. But here in chapter 10, he begins another area we are to walk in wisdom. And although the statistics that I gave you they're not really included in this message, I think it does help us to see maybe something that we're not aware of many times. Because in verse number 10, he begins to write to the church. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Right? So in verses 10 through 13, he's continuing this idea of walking in wisdom, but here is another, if we could say, another area. We've seen walking in wisdom in the home, and we've seen walking in wisdom in the job, but here's another area we must walk in wisdom. I think this is sometimes we think this is not really one that we are really made aware of much, and that is walking in wisdom against our enemy. We're to walk in wisdom against our enemy. Think about what he says here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look, friend, we have an enemy. If you're saved tonight, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we have an enemy. His name is Lucifer, his name is Satan, his name is the devil, whatever you want to call him, the deceiver, whatever. But we have an enemy that I think far too often we neglect to think about, right? We're so concerned with our family, we're so concerned with our jobs, we're so concerned with our life that we fail to remember that there is an enemy that is out to get us. And this is why Peter says there as Peter writes, he says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter says, look, you have to be made aware. You have an enemy, right? There's an enemy that is trying to keep people from God. Paul tells us in Corinthians that the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them. Paul says, hey, the devil is trying to keep people from the truth. What's sad is it's only worth 40 cents to us a day to get the gospel out. Is it any wonder that Christians have lost their desire to reach people with the gospel? Is it a wonder that Christians have become so consumed with the world and the things of the world that we have forgotten what our purpose is here, right? And this is what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to forget that we have an enemy. He wants us to forget that people are lost and dying and on their way to a devil's hell unless they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. He wants us to forget those things and to focus on you. Focus on your life. Focus on your family. Focus on your job. Focus on you. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about the devil. Don't worry about anybody else, whether they go to hell or not. That's not your choice anyway. You just focus on you. And this is why he says, hey, wait a second. Hold on here. Just as much as we have to walk in wisdom in our home, just as much as we have to walk in wisdom in the job, if not more so, we need to walk in wisdom against our enemy. And this is what he says here. Notice how he begins to show us how to walk in enemy. Now, of course, we understand verses 14 down begins to talk about the armor of God, and we're not going to be able to get into that tonight. There's too much there. I think a couple years ago we even did a whole series on the armor of God, and so that could take weeks and weeks, and so we're not going to get into that tonight. But I think tonight we just need to be reminded that we have an enemy, and we must walk in wisdom against our enemy. He says, I mean, think about this, in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That he's telling us that the devil is not going to fight fair. The devil's not going to just stand up and say, hey, I just want you all to know I'm your enemy and I'm coming after you. That's not what he's going to do, right? You know, it's, in sports, there are rules. You know, and if you're in football, right? I mean, you have an offense, you have a defense, right? And there are rules, there's boundaries, right? You know how easy it would be to play football if there's no boundaries, if there's no out of bounds? I mean, you just run anywhere you want to, right? You know, anywhere. There's no rules, there's no boundaries in baseball or soccer or anything like that. No boundaries, you just do whatever you want to do. It'd be a little bit hard to play the sport and really know who's winning and who's not winning, right? Do you understand? The devil doesn't play by rules. There are no boundaries that he has. Yes, we understand God is in control, but he's not playing by your rules or my rules. He has his own set of rules, and he doesn't care what you want or what you think. He's going to do what he wants to try to get you not to serve God. And this is why Paul is saying we must walk in wisdom here. There must be wisdom in how we walk against our enemy. So what do we need? Notice he says in verse number 11, we need strength. We need strength. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. We need strength. We need to be strong in the Lord. Again, just as we were talking this morning about that strength that Paul tells Timothy, this is not a physical strength. This is an inner strength. This strength that we need is not our own physical strength to go out and fight the devil. No, it's not that. This strength that he's talking about is an inner strength. It is a spiritual strength that we need. And that's why when you notice he says here, it's not your strength. He says, be strong in the Lord. You understand? There's only one who has greater power than the devil, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that has greater power than the devil. You know why? Because he created him. Now, he didn't create the devil. He created Lucifer. And then Lucifer chose to rebel against God, chose to rebel against his creator, and now we have the devil. But God was the one that created him as a beautiful angel that was created to serve him and worship him. And he chose to rebel. And so God says, hey, if you want to walk in wisdom, you need strength. And the only place that you can get true spiritual strength to be able to overcome the wiles of the devil is from the Lord. That's where the strength comes from, to be strong in the Lord. Again, we know that only a Christian can be strong in the Lord. He's talking to the brethren here. It's impossible for a lost person to be strong in the Lord. But being strong in the Lord, again, has nothing to do with how long a person has been saved. You know, it's sad that there are many Christians who have been saved for 20 years and 30 years and 40 years and 50 years, and they're not strong spiritually. Oh, they've been saved for a long time. They have no strength, no spiritual strength. They've just been living life for themselves. It's not about how long you've been saved. Look, I know people that have been saved for a short period of time, and they are spiritually stronger than those who've been saved for a long time. It's not about the length of time you've been saved. No, it's about how close you're walking with the Lord, how close you're walking with Jesus Christ. Our strength comes from the Lord, not from how long we've been saved or not from how often we go to church. I like what the psalmist says in Psalms 18, verse number 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He is the one that we need to get our strength from. He is the one that we have to understand. Look, I cannot face the attacks of the devil. I cannot face the wiles, the trickery of the devil without God's strength. I cannot do that. If I do, I am doomed to fail. I'm doomed to fail. And again, this is exactly what the devil wants us to think. Hey, don't worry about the devil. You just focus on you. Don't even worry about God. Don't follow God. Don't be obedient to God. Don't follow his word. You don't really need to do that. If you do, you're going to miss out on so much fun. And so just don't follow God. You just focus on you and your family and your job and your career and all those different things. Why do you think he wants us to do that? Because he doesn't want us to do what we're supposed to do. To serve the Lord. To get the gospel out. To tell others about Jesus Christ so that they can be saved from a place called hell. Now, we can't save them. We understand that. But we can tell about the one who can. The one who can give them eternal life. Be strong in the Lord. Of course, this was our theme for last year, right? Strong. So finally, it took me, 12, 13, 15 months to get to our theme that we had last year in Ephesians chapter 6. But I finally got to it, right? This was our theme verse, okay? Be strong in the Lord. So how does a person become strong in the Lord? He tells us to. Be strong in the Lord. But how does that happen? How is a person able to be strong in the Lord? The only way that we can be strong in the Lord is if we have a relationship with him. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about a personal daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if he is the source of our strength, then the closer we are to him, guess what happens? The more of his strength that we know. The closer we are to the Lord Jesus Christ, if strength is found in Him, the closer I am to Him, then the more of His strength is able to be evidenced in my life. The more I can walk with Him, and the closer I can be with Him, and the more I can spend time with Him, then the more I'm able to have His strength to be able to overcome the wiles, the temptations of the devil. If you remember, when Jesus was tempted, what did Jesus do? Jesus used the Scripture. He used the Word of God to overcome temptation. He kept quoting Scripture, as it is written, as it is written, as it is written. He quoted the Word of God to the devil himself. What does David say? In Psalms 119, verse number 11, I think, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against thee." You see, God has given us tools that we need to be able to overcome the wiles and the temptations of the devil. The problem is we forget that we actually have an enemy. We forget that he is our enemy. You know, we don't like to think about spiritual warfare and things like this. And I'm not this hocus pocus type of spiritual warfare type of person. You know, people say, "Man, right now there's demons and angels fighting over your head right now." I'm like, "Ooh, boy, that's interesting, right?" I hope they don't have any arrows. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not trying to be funny about this, but you know, we can take it to an extreme, right? But we do have to understand there is a spiritual battle taking place. I mean, this is why he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, look, there is a battle taking place. Yes, we cannot see it. There's no doubt. We cannot see the spiritual battle taking place. But there is a battle that is taking place for the lives of men. And God's desire is that we are to be used in this battle. We are used in this spiritual battle. It's not physical. We're not wrestling against these angels, these fallen angels, in a physical matter. But when we are yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ and we're walking with Him and we're following His word and we're trusting Him, then we are able to battle against these spiritual forces and be able to win. To be able to win. It is when we neglect that there is an enemy. We neglect and we don't think, well, you know, the devil, you know, I don't like to think about the devil. I don't like to think about spiritual warfare and things like that. You know, I just want to kind of stay in my little bubble here and I'm just going to do what I want to do and I'm just going to follow my plans for my life. Who do you think is telling you to do that? It's not God. Because God said, hey, you know what you need to do? Be strong in the Lord. It's the devil. The devil is the one that is getting us away from what we're supposed to do. Why? Because we're not walking in wisdom against our enemy. We're allowing the enemy to set the rules and the boundaries, right? Well, he doesn't follow the rules. He doesn't follow the boundaries. Why are we following his rules? Why are we staying within his boundaries? Oh, you can't get out. You don't want to leave your job. You don't want to leave your career to follow God over there. You wouldn't want to do that to become a missionary. Why am I following his rules? Why are we staying within his boundaries that he has set? He doesn't follow God's rules. He doesn't follow God's boundaries. Why would we follow his? And yet so many Christians are living their lives by Satan's rules and boundaries. It's no wonder why we're failing. It's no wonder why we're not reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Look, if every Christian, I'm talking about true Christians, I'm not talking about fake Christians that just claim the name of Jesus. I'm talking about true Christians. If every true Christian that loved the Lord Jesus Christ and had accepted Christ as their Savior, every true Christian, if they simply were obedient to God, you don't think that we could get the gospel to every person in this world in a short amount of time? I guarantee you we could. But we don't. Why? Because we're playing by his rules and his boundaries instead of listening to what God said. We're not walking in wisdom against our enemy. If we focus our attention on the things of this earth, we're never going to find his strength. If we focus on things above, and this is what Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 tells us, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Did you just realize what God just did? He said, here's the boundaries. Here's God's boundaries right here. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. There's the boundaries right there. You know what the devil says? Nah. Don't do that. Don't set your affections on things above. Man, I mean, look at all the world has to offer. Look at all the world has to offer. You ought to come over and play by my rules. Play in my field. And so many Christians leave God's field and God's rules and God's boundaries, and they listen to the devil, and they come over here. And instead of setting their affections on things above, they're setting their affections on things on the earth. And he tells us back in Matthew, he says, look, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, right? What we really love, that's where our heart's going to be, right? And so what he's to say, don't set your affections on things on the earth where moth and rust and be stolen, it's corrupted, wears out. But yet, that's where we spend most of our money and time. I'm not saying this to criticize, but I am saying just to think about it. I guarantee you, if you were to go to these churches and you were to find these people that were given this survey and things, I guarantee you they spend more than 40 cents a day on many things. Just not the gospel. What's happened? We've set our affections on things on the earth instead of things above. And this is why he says we have to walk in wisdom against our enemy. Why? Because our enemy is strong. He is strong. He's powerful. But the one we serve is far stronger. The one we serve is far more powerful. This is why he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So not only do we need strength, but he says we need power. We need power, right? I mean, you can have a big old tractor. You know, you see these tractors out, and they're going to start getting out in the fields here after the rain, the spring and things like that. These tractors, they're going to be out, and they're going to be disking and stuff. Man, those tractors are strong. I mean, they can pull those discs and stuff behind them, and they can pull those all of those different things and the planters and all. They can pull all that stuff, and they can till up the ground. I mean, they have strength. They're strong. But you know, they require something to be able to work. They require a little fluid called diesel. It doesn't matter how strong that tractor is, if it doesn't have any diesel in it, it's not gonna go nowhere. Maybe like muscle cars. Like muscle cars? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, right? I mean, you can have yourself a muscle car. I mean, you can have, you know, whether it's a, you know, super sport, or you can get a, you know, Cobra, or, you know, you can get whatever you want, right? You got this muscle car, and it is strong. I mean, you know that thing can do something. You put the pedal down and them tires are just going to peel out. You know, it has got strength. But unless you put gas in it, it's not going to do anything. What's he say? We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do we have the power of his might dwelling within us? Isn't it amazing that God makes his power available to us? His power. He says, I'm making it available to you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. we shouldn't be afraid to do whatever it is that he wants us to do. Why? Because he's going to avail us with the power of his might to do what he desires for our lives. He's not going to call you to do something. He's not going to give you a task to do and then just throw you out there on your own and say, hey, go figure it out, dude. I can remember when I was at a lake in Missouri, and the family had gone there, and I wasn't the greatest of swimmers. I think you know where this is going. And I can remember my brothers were threatening to throw me in. And I was pleading for mercy because I was innocent of everything I'd ever done. I'm pleading for mercy, and that's not coming from my brothers. And so I turned to my father for mercy, for help. And my dad says, throw him in. I'm not bitter at all. You know, God doesn't do that. Why did you? God didn't do that. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? He's like, hey, this is what I want you to do. All right, there you go. Figure it out on your own. No, God says, hey, I will give you something to do, but then I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you the power that you need to do it. If we'll just yield to him and say, all right, Lord, hey, if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I don't know how it's going to work out. But God says, that's all right, I'll take care of it. I will avail you with my power. I will equip you with what you need to do if you'll just trust me. It's sad that we trust. And again, we would never say this. We would never say that we do this. But we trust the devil more than we do God. Come on. Do we not? We trust the devil more than we do God. God says, I'll take care of you. The devil says, no, he won't. And so what do? We side with the devil. He's really not going to take care of you. He's really not going to be there with you. He's not going to walk through that with you. He's not going to give you the power that you need. I know what he says, but he's not going to do that. And we believe the devil more than we believe God. And it ought to be just the opposite. When we hear the lies of the devil, we ought to say, devil, look, let me tell you what God says. God says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So if God tells me to do something, he's going to give me the power that I need to do it. He's going to avail me with the strength. He's going to avail me with whatever I need because I'm doing it for him, not for you, not for me. I'm doing it for him, and he's going to be right there with me. We need to stop listening to what the devil says and start listening to what God says. Why? Because we're not walking in wisdom against our enemy. We're more willing to listen to what he says than what God says. When you think about this, as we've looked through this, he's just gone through several areas of our lives, right? Our home, our personal life, our home, at work, that he wants us to be spirit-filled, Christ-filled. Yet even after going through all of these things that we've looked at, I wonder how many of us are actually doing what he said. How many of us are actually walking in the Spirit and being Spirit-filled? How many of us are actually having a Spirit-filled marriage, having a Spirit-filled home, allowing ourselves to be used of God at work and being Spirit-filled at work, walking in wisdom in all these areas? You see, we know what he says. But then we start believing the lie of the devil. Ah, it's not going to work out well. Don't do it. Don't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. I know God said you can, but you can't do it. You can't trust him. You can't follow him. And we believe what the devil says more than we believe what God says. If we're not going to put him in the practice, then we are giving the devil the victory in our lives. Think about what he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 9. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? He says, think about the greatness of his power to us who believe. He doesn't offer this power to anybody. He offers it to those who believe. The world can never experience God's power the way a Christian can. And yet so many Christians go through life powerless because we never experience God's power. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God says, hey, I will direct you in what you need to do, and I'm going to work through you. I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the ability to do what I have called you to do, what I want you to do, if we'll just trust him. Colossians 1:11, "Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Man, strengthened with might according to his glorious power. You ever stopped and just thought about the power of God for a moment? I mean, just think about the power of God. I mean, we can think about the miracles that Jesus did, right? I mean, think about Jesus. He's in a storm. He stands up in a boat, and he says three words: "Peace, be still." Whoa. I mean, that's what the disciples said. Believe me, it's in there. They said, whoa, right? You might have to read in between the lines, but Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And all of a sudden, here comes Lazarus out of the grave. Whoa. But even think about God's power before that, before all the miracles. God said, "Let there be light." Isn't it amazing? All God has to do is speak, and his power is evidenced. His power is just by his words. "Let there be light." There's light. Oh, yeah. "Let's have some planets. Have some stars. Hey, fish." "Flying birds." Somewhere the ostriches and penguin got in there too, right? "Creeping things, all you four-footed beasts." Just done. The power of God. And we want to listen to the devil? And we're going to trust him over God? We're not walking in wisdom, folks. We're not walking in wisdom against our enemy. And God tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, we have got to understand there is something at work here that we cannot see. This is a spiritual battle that is taking place. And so we have to ask ourselves this question: am I going to trust God over the devil? Am I going to be obedient to God, or am I going to listen to the lie of the devil and the lie of the world and just keep living my life the way I want to live it? I fail to understand why Christians are so afraid to entrust God with their lives. I really do. Look, God's not going to call everybody to go to Africa. Right? I mean, we're so afraid, man, if I surrender to God, he's going to call me to Africa. I don't know why everybody thinks that. It's not a bad place anyway. But we have this idea, well, if I surrender to God, if I surrender to what God wants, he's going to call me to Africa, or he's going to call me to these jungles in South America, or he's going to call me to Siberia, right? Or, I mean, we start thinking the worst things possible. I wonder where that comes from. Where do the worst things possible come from when we start thinking of God? It's not of God. Do you understand? You can be surrendered to God and still be working at the job that you're at. You can be surrendered to God and still the family that you have is not going to change. But instead of living for self and instead of living for this world, we're going to live for God. We're going to live for what God wants us to do. And so it might be, look, this is what we talked about. He said, look, your personal life, walk in wisdom. Your home, walk in wisdom. On the job, walk in wisdom. Why? Because there's an enemy that we all face. And he is trying to get us not to walk in wisdom in any of these areas. There's nothing to be afraid of in surrendering to God and saying, God, you can have my life. You say, well, what if God does? If he does, praise God. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God says, if I do call you to do something like that, don't worry. I got it taken care of. Trust me, I've got enough power to get you through it. I can strengthen you. I can give you the power. I will avail my power to you if you'll just be obedient to what I want you to do. Are we going to walk in wisdom against our enemy? Or are we going to continue to allow our enemy to get victory over us? Look, we fail all the time. I get it. We say, yes, I'm not going to listen to the devil. I want to follow God. And then sometime during the week, what do we find ourselves do? We find ourselves maybe on the job. We're not walking in wisdom. We're not filled with the Spirit. We're like, oh, man, I blew it. No, Lord, I want to walk in wisdom, and I want to follow you. And what do? We find ourselves at home. We're arguing in court, arguing with our wife or our children. We're like, oh, man, I blew it. God, I want to walk with you, and I want to follow you. And then in our own personal life, we blow it, right? Man, I didn't spend time with God today. I wasn't in his word. I wasn't talking with him. And it's actually been a couple days since I've been in his word. And talking. Man, God, I blew it. I blew it. You understand? We all blow it. You're not special. Okay? We like to think like we're the only ones that's ever blown it. Let me just tell you, you're not special in that area. I'm here to testify, okay? You're not special. We've all blown it. And that's why we need his strength. That's why we need his power. Yeah, we blew it, all right? What do? We go to God and say, God, I blew it. I wasn't walking in wisdom. I wasn't walking in the Spirit at home, at the job, with my family, in my personal life. God, I blew it. I let the devil get the victory in my life. God, I'm sorry. But you know what, God? If I'm going to come back, and I'm going to ask for you for strength, and I'm going to ask you for power, and I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to try to be as close with you as possible. I'm going to try to daily be in your word and daily be in prayer and be walking with you and sharing the love of Christ with others. God, I want to follow you. I want to trust you. I want to be able to do that. What do we need? We need his strength. We need his power. And this is why he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have a great enemy. Great not as in greatness of awe and reverence, but a powerful enemy that wants to destroy us. But God says, with his strength and with his power, we can overcome. But we must walk in wisdom. We must understand who our enemy is and stop listening to his lies. Stop playing by his rules. Play by God's. And trust God that he'll be able to get us through it. Father, I pray you to help us, Lord. Lord, far too often we listen to the lies of the devil. We listen to what the devil says and the lies of the devil instead of trusting you. Lord, knowing that whatever you call us to do, you'll enable us. You'll strengthen us. You'll give us the power if we're willing to follow you and trust you. So, Father, I pray you'd help us to walk in wisdom against our enemy. Lord, to recognize that every day the devil's going to come after us. These forces of darkness are going to try to get us to turn away from you. Try to get us not to listen to your rules and your boundaries. Not focus on the things above. Not focus on eternity. But try to get us to focus on the temporal things. On the things here below. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be wise against our enemy. Help us to walk in wisdom. To be able to get victory over him. In our personal life, in our family, on our job, Lord, that we would walk in wisdom and trust you. Lord, would you help us in this? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this evening. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, the piano's just going to begin playing softly. Maybe tonight God has spoken to your hearts.